of the Lord. Come on! Unitarians, not dead.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. One more time.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Stepping a bit out of our usual order, we do have a couple of announcements to begin the hour. The notice on your order of service, the children's choir make a glorious sound. Please read that. The Zen Studies group will meet this Thursday as usual. They'll be in the double classroom instead of the sanctuary to make room for the concert. Come at 6 for the Sound of Silence. Stay at 7:30 for the Sound of Music. Newbies, first-timers, and non-meditators are most welcome. For more information, see Eric. And now a message from Esther. Pay attention. And she says, if you get email from about the plant sale and the rummage sale, you better read it. On May 16th and 17th, our church will be having a rummage and plant sale. And we'll be needing many donations. So go to your closets and determine what you haven't worn in a year or so, and put it in a bag by the front door. Please read all about it in the May newsletter, as well as the messages in the Likuk email. Chris Rollins is the chairperson of the Rummage in the Round, and Esther Flaccus is the chairperson of the plant sale. Thank you.
For the renewal of life as the sun passes the equinox and day becomes longer than night, we gather.
For the renewal of life as tidal flows respond to the rhythms of the moon, we gather.
For the renewal of life as rains come, flowers bloom, and animals stir, we gather.
For the renewal of life inspired by the great souled ones who heroically remind us of the transforming power of sacrifice and love, we gather.
For the renewal of life within our souls, and as a reminder of the light that shines within each of us, for these reasons and more, we gather. Come, let us worship here together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
John. John, do you want this?
I'll just take it back and get it. Hello.
Claudia? Where are you? We're going going to read in unison number 473 in the Great Hymnal as our chalice lighting words for today. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Please stand as you are willing and able, and join me in our first hymn, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we strive to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Sue Andrews, and I'm the worship associate for today. We are a welcoming congregation. This means that you are welcome here. Whatever your background, wherever you are on life's journey, whomever you love, however you identify, whatever you hope for, you are welcome here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to having all of our visitors, friends, and members join us in these activities. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence your electronics. And if you have an unsilenceable noisemaker, there is nursery service available today, just on the other side of the foyer, although there will not be RE. Again, welcome all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to worship here with us today.
One of the ways that we care for our community is by contributing to the local food pantries, both financially and by collecting non-perishable food items. If you have food items to share today, please bring them forward or ask a child to bring them up, and I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story.
today's story is the Easter story, and it's adapted from a version by the Reverend Ricky Hoyt. And it's a story of what happened to Jesus in the last days of his life, and you all are going to help me tell it. So first we're going to divide into three parts. So I'm going to need this group over here on my left. You are yes. We're going to practice that. When I go like this, I want to hear yes. One, two, three.
Yes.
All right. This group in the middle, you are maybe. So when I point to you, I want to hear maybe. So we're going to practice. One, two, three.
Maybe.
All right. And this group over here is my no group. When I point to you, I want to hear no.
No.
All right. You guys are going to help with the maybes, okay? So when I point to you, I point to this whole group. I want to hear maybe. Can you do that?
Maybe.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So here we go. Jesus was a teacher who lived about 2,000 years ago in a part of the world that today we call Israel or the Middle East. He was very religious, and he walked around a lot telling people about religion, and he taught about God. And some people agreed with what he said, so when he taught, they said,
yes!
And others disagreed, and they said,
no!
And some people really weren't sure, and they said,
maybe!
Despite all of the,
yes! No! Maybe!
Jesus thought he should keep telling people what he knew, so he spent the last 3 years of his life walking around and speaking everywhere he went. He was nice and loving to poor people and sick people and other people who didn't fit in well. He made them feel good. And he started to attract followers, people who listened to him and were called disciples. And some people liked this and said,
yes!
And some didn't and said,
no!
And some just said,
maybe!
And some Jewish leaders felt that Jesus was critical of people, and some other people felt that he was wonderful. But Jesus wasn't afraid to be critical, especially of people who were rich and powerful. But the leaders worried that if Jesus kept speaking, the religion might be destroyed and the nation might follow it. Some people agreed and said,
yes!
And others said,
no!
And some people weren't real sure what was going on, and they just said,
yes!
1 week before Easter, Jesus came into Jerusalem, the biggest city in Israel. It was the city where the religious leaders had their temple, and the Roman government had their headquarters. And he marched right into Jerusalem and got a crowd together, and started saying some of the same critical things he'd been saying before. Lots of people heard him this time. And no one could agree if he was right or wrong or if he should say these things until all the people started talking at once. No one was sure. And the religious leaders and the Roman government got together and had Jesus arrested. And they put him on trial, and even though he hadn't really said anything illegal, they found him guilty, and they sentenced him to die like a criminal. He was executed in the same way they used to execute normal criminals. They put him on a wooden cross and let him die there. And some of his friends came in that evening, and they took his body down. They couldn't bury him right away because it was already late, and the next day was a holy day. So instead, they laid him in a cave and closed the entrance up with a big rock. On Sunday morning, Easter morning, three women who were friends of Jesus came to the cave to get him. But the big rock was rolled away, and his body wasn't there. He was gone. Sitting inside the cave was a young man dressed in white who told them not to be sad, because Jesus had gotten up. He told the women to go tell everybody. And some people said,
yes!
And some people said,
no!
And some people weren't real sure if this was true at all, and they said,
maybe!
So that's the strange thing that happened on Easter morning about 2,000 years ago, but we're not sure if it's quite true or not. Some believe that the last part of the story is exactly true. They believe that somebody was able to die and be alive again. For people who believe that, Easter's a happy day because of what it means to them. It means that if they trust Jesus, they can overcome a lot of bad things in their life. other people, and most of us, don't believe that the last part of the story is exactly true. We believe that when Jesus died, he really died. Just like everybody really dies eventually. But Easter's a happy day for us too, because it reminds us of something else. It reminds us that while he lived, he said good things and was really nice to people. And for that, we can all say,
yes!
So whether you believe that Jesus got up again, or didn't get up again, or didn't exist at all, you can learn from his example just how to be nice to people, and that matters. So that's the story of Easter, whether you say,
yes,
no,
or
maybe.
And thank you for listening, and I hope you have a terrific day. And today I'm going to have you guys just go sit back down, because we're not singing now. A young man didn't attend church very often, but always agreed to accompany his partner to services on what he considered to be important holidays. Well, Easter came, and he put on his suit and went to hear what was said. And when the Easter service was over, he tried to leave quickly through a side door, but the minister was already there. He grabbed the young man by the hand and shook it vigorously with a smile and said, "Come back more often. You need to join the army of the faithful." Thinking quickly, the young man said, "I'm already in the army of the faithful, Pastor, I swear." The pastor was dubious and said, "Then how come I don't see you except for Christmas and Easter?" And the young man shot back, "I'm in the secret service." So that we might continue to welcome all regular attendees and secret service members alike, the morning offering will now be given and received. Gifts given and received for the life and work of this community.
Your life is bad. Your prospects are worse. Your wife is sighing, crying, and your olive tree is dying. Teeth decaying and bitter fat. Predators weighing your purse up. Your mood and your robe are both a deep blue. You'd bet that Job has nothing on you. Don't forget that when you go to heaven, you'll be blessed. Yes, it's all for the best.
Some men aren't born to live at ease, doing what they please, richer than the bees are in honey. Never growing old, never feeling cold, pulling pots of gold from thin air. The best in every town, best at shaking down, best at making mountains of money. They can't take it with them, but what do they care? They get the center of the meat, cushions on the seat, houses on the street where it's sunny. Summer in the free, wooded, warm and free, all of this and we get the rest. But who is the land for, the sun and the sand for? You guessed, it's all for the best. Some men are born to the deep, doing what they please, richer than the bees are in honey.
Your life is
never
bad.
Growing old, never feeling
your
cold, growing hot and cold from thin air.
Your wife
the best
dying,
in
the
town, best chicken down,
and your mouth is dying.
They can't take it with them, but what do they care? They get the center of the meat, pushes on the seat, houses on the street, where it's sunny. Summer's in the sea, winter's warm and cool, all of this and we get the rest. But who is the land for, the sun and the sand for? You guessed, it's all for the best.
You must never be distressed.
Yes. It's all for the best.
All your wrongs will be distressed.
Yes, it's all for the best. Someone has to be oppressed. Yes, it's all for the best.
Time in our service where we share our joys and concerns, and we do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. So would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a mic.
John, and joy in our life, but our youngest son, Ryan, just announced he's going to be engaged to be married, so we're real pleased about that. We think a lot of the Allies that are engaged to.
Hi, I'm Dan, and light a candle of concern. Once again, Isaac's in the ICU with pneumonia.
I'm Erin, and I don't know if this is a joy or a concern, but I'm deeply afraid I might bust out into a rendition of Turn Back, Old Man. Light a candle of joy for this wonderful community. It's so great to have the right place to come on Easter Sunday.
Hi, I'm Mason, and I would like to light a candle of joy for my Uncle Tom. He just got engaged.
Thank you. parent, please light a candle of concern. Some of us struggle and carry heavy weights on the outside, and some carry them on the inside. A young friend of mine whom I've known for 10 years is in the North Bay psychiatric ward, checked in against his own will, but he is safe at this point and no harm to himself. That's good. And I'm glad that we have safety nets to catch us when we need it.
I'd like to light a candle of joy today and in thanks for all the wonderful folks who have helped to move our sound booth over and done all that great work. Thank you to each and everyone who worked on that. You are marvelous. And our last candle today is for all those joys and all those concerns which we hold deeply but which have not been named here today.
Our first reading today is an Easter meditation by Unitarian Universalist minister Reverend Samuel A. Trumbore. Eternal Spirit, we witness bringing green growth, throwing out tiny tendrils seeking support, sprouting thin twigs, reaching for the bright golden sun, guiding new tubers seeking water in dark sandy soil. Be in and amongst us this Easter morning. We gather this morning to celebrate the triumph of life over death. The body can be killed, but the spirit cannot be quenched. Only yesterday we had given up all hope of the promise of the coming divine realm. And today, we are renewed and inspired as we realize it is now already here. This morning, we remember that pain and suffering and death are not ends, but can be scary underground passages to more abundant life. If we have the courage to face our fear and crawl through, to be pushed and pulled by the mind-narrowing forces of lust, hate, and confusion. This morning we renew our dedication to act from our love rather than our fear. We renew our faith in the inherent dignity and worth of all humanity, including ourselves, which cannot be removed from anyone, and seek the nerve to face the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune which may come our way. In our moments of defeat and surrender, may we turn away from the paths of revenge, denial, and cynicism. May we remember the eternal truth spun into the web of life. Our wounds can become sacred incarnational teaching of the wisdom embedded in the story of the resurrection. Let us celebrate together this morning the one who never gives up, even in the darkest night of winter, our blue-green planet Earth, resurrected anew each spring.
Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
The second reading for today is Easter Prayer 2004, a prayer by the Reverend Kathleen Rollins. Reverend Rollins is a minister at West Shore UU Church in Rocky River, Ohio. Spirit of Life, we come together this Easter morning to rejoice in the ongoing song of life that is within us and around us. In this season of renewal, of life bursting into bloom or song, the hidden beauty of nature preparing to unfold, remind us that we too have a hidden inner beauty, reflecting the image of your creative power. Yet, for all the beauty that lives in us and among us, we doubt its realization. We question our talent, our beauty, our abilities, our value. We become cynical about love, jaded about peace, less hopeful about the future. We roll stones across entrances, build fences instead of gates, close fists instead of open arms. Spirit of Resurrection, remind us of the power of hope to triumph over fear, the power of love to prevail over the horrors of hate, the potential for peace to be victorious over hostility. Spirit of Life, as we feel you flowing and pulsing within, we pray for a courageous and joyous faith, empowering us to become our finest and truest selves, empowering us to see your image in our brothers and sisters, empowering us to participate with you in the creation of a new time of life in which love, justice, beauty, and peace are abundantly available to all. For this we pray. Amen. Here ends the second reading.
Would you please stand as you're willing and able and join me in singing hymn number 357, Bright Morning Stars. Tracy is going to sing it through. She's going to sing the first verse through for us so we can hear it. And then we'll start on the first verse ourselves. You hear the first verse twice. She's going to sing it once and then we're going to sing it.
Thank you.
grew up an ethnically and racially Jewish child adopted by an evangelical family, knowing I was Jewish. So the coming together of Passover and the Christian Holy Week, or the last week of Lent, has always fascinated me. Historically, symbolically, and theologically, it speaks to something deep inside, with a meaning beyond either Jewish or Christian doctrine. The eight-day festival of Passover is celebrated in the early spring, from the 15th through the 22nd of the Hebrew month of Nisan. This year it begins on April 14th and continues till the 21st. It commemorates the release of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And by following the rituals of Passover today, we are able to relive and re-experience the freedom that my ancestors gained as Jews fled captivity. Briefly, the religious version of the story says that after decades of slavery to the Egyptian pharaohs, during which time the Israelites were subjected to back-breaking labor and unbearable horror, God saw the people's distress and sent a man named Moses to Pharaoh with a message, "Let my people go. Send my people forth so that they may serve me." But Pharaoh refused, and God sent upon Egypt 10 plagues, afflicting them and destroying everything from their livestock to their crops. And we have various understandings today of what these plagues were and how they happened. And there's actually a few fairly good scientific explanations. But this is the religious explanation. And at the stroke of midnight on 15 Nisan in approximately the year 1313 BCE, God sent the last of 10 plagues on the Egyptians, taking away their firstborn. And when he did so, he spared the children of Israel. He passed over their homes, and there you have the name of the holiday. Pharaoh's resistance was broken, and he virtually chased his former slaves out of the land. The Israelites left in such a hurry that the bread they had did not have time to rise. 600,000 adult males, almost as many women, and again almost as many children, left Egypt and began the trek to Mount Sinai in the Promised Land. About 1,346 years later, a young Jewish radical, the Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth, met with his disciples to eat a Passover meal on a Thursday in the city of Jerusalem. They broke bread and they prayed together. And Jesus, who knew that his triumphant entry into the city a week earlier would not stop the growing movement to end both his ministry and his life, warned his followers that the end was near. Later that evening, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And after praying to God to have this pain taken away from him, if possible, Jesus was seized by a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and elders of the people, and taken before the Jewish high court. He was sentenced to death and then sent to the Roman prefect Pontius Pilate, who approved his crucifixion for the crime of breaking Jewish law. Pilate himself could find no crime against Rome, and according to the Christian Bible, historically washed his hands, which is where we get the phrase, actually brought out a bowl of water, dipped his hands, and said, "I have nothing to do with this," publicly. On Friday, Jesus was crucified between two common thieves, taken down, and laid in a borrowed tomb. And on Sunday, the Christian Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead in body and in spirit, was seen by various people, and then ascended into heaven. So standing here as a Jewish Unitarian, how in the heck does this speak to me? How does this speak to you? It speaks to me as a UU, and as a human being, and as a person of faith. Now, some of you may know the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus wasn't always called Easter. The name probably came about as a fertility cult of the Germanic goddess Oster, or Easter, was overwhelmed by Christianity. That may be where we get the images of the rabbits and the eggs, the custom of handing out sweets. And a lot of Unitarian ministers preach on this every year, and I swear I'm not one of them. You know, we all know that Christianity survived because it was good at adapting itself to the local customs, as long as they didn't impact or change the Christian message. So that's not what I'm here for today. The Easter and the Good Friday and the Passover I care about have little to do with candy or Easter bunnies or Seder. I care what they have to teach us about suffering and life, death and spirit and triumph. It is easy to talk about marshmallow peeps and Easter hats and chocolate crosses. But I would rather engage in the harder task of talking as you use about the power of the idea of life after death, resurrection, of personal redemption and of salvation from the things that destroy us. Passover is the celebration of freedom after captivity, Easter of life after death, of peace after pain. In both cases, it is the depth of suffering which make real the joy of relief. One cannot exist without the other. I do not know if the man Jesus suffered and died to pay for my sins. But I do believe that some measure of pain is present and essential in any spiritual journey. I am not a sadist or a masochist, but any spiritual guide or guru or teacher who tells me that there is an easy path to wisdom and joy and they are about to sell it to me? Really? It isn't that simple. Any spiritual teacher who says that those who do it better get blessed more, they worry me. What about those who are doing the best they can and still cannot prosper? What about those who are actively suffering from disease, grinding poverty, or war, or despair? What does the prosperity gospel say to them? This world is broken in many places. Human beings live without clean water or sufficient food. Companies have created slave economies in foreign countries and a nation of wage slaves in our own. Women are trapped in sexist culture. Refugees suffer without homes. Others live under harsh regimes without a Moses in sight. Young black men are shot in the streets and young Muslim girls on the way to school. Suffering unites us across a world which is both smaller and more separated than it has ever been. So when we see the suffering of the man, Jesus of Nazareth, the man so much like us that I hear myself in him, when he stood in the garden at Gethsemane and asked his dad to make it stop before it ever began. When I see his suffering, I see the suffering of all of us, of every kid who fell down hard and asked his mom to make it please stop hurting, of every parent who did without, of every young woman who had her heart broken, her life broken. Every victim who cried out in pain and shame and rage, and every perpetrator who caused that pain in an effort to stop their own or just to survive. When I meditate on that cross, I see beyond one young carpenter, beyond one radical first century Nazarene, one Palestinian man, one dying Jew. I see the suffering of the web of life which holds us all together. I see the pain and brokenness which call me to do more, to be more, to love more. The God of my understanding, which some may see as spirit of life or spirit of humanity, is not just the God of happiness and prosperity, but the God who is also there on the days when all seems lost. The God who calls me to do the hard work of justice and repair. The God who reminds me that suffering is real and cannot be avoided. The God who allowed the cross to happen is the God who calls me to work toward a world in which it can never happen again. The God of Passover, who saved the Hebrew firstborn, is also the God of Good Friday and crucifixion, and the God of crucifixion is the God of resurrection. Black and white, good and bad, and all the spaces in between. Though Jesus was crucified alone as a criminal, his pain and suffering have meaning for us here today. His suffering is the suffering of the parents of Trayvon Martin, of the victims of the Sikh temple shootings in Wisconsin, of Muslim refugees and Ukrainian Jews. We are connected in a web, reaching forward and backward through time, from the cross to the internet. One cloak, many threads. And as I think about the time between Passover feast, crucifixion, and resurrection, I am forced to consider the time between Jesus' death on the cross and his supposed rise on that third day. That empty space, that dash between death and life. Christians do not lament the death of their God. The holiday we know as Easter is not a graveside ceremony. It is a celebration of life, of what happens after an ending, of going on, but not immediately. In all of the stories, there is a gap, a time between death and rebirth. A time to sit with the ending which has just happened, to grieve the loss of what was and what might have been. 3 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years. The amount of time is immaterial. It is the time we need to be done, whatever that is. The time we need to experience ourselves as those who have lost before we can begin again. When the ending is a good one, there is a great temptation to remove the pause altogether. I am jubilant as I finish my career as a student, and I rush to begin my first job. I discover I'm going to be a parent, and I rush to furnish a nursery. But how do I honor my own journey? How do I recognize my own learning if I do not grant myself time to think through my experience? My time as a working person will only be stronger if I understand and am ready to leave my time as a college student. My maturity and readiness to parent depends on my willingness to accept the ending of my own childhood. The metaphors found in the resurrection stories tell me that there is a space between what was and what will be, and that space is needed. Make no mistake, I can go without that space. I can plow forward time and time again, dragging the rattling remains of all my endings behind me. I can live in what was. I can wrap myself so tightly in the would have, should have, once was, that the ghost of my former life walked beside me everywhere I go. But that is not healthy. That does not free me to engage in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. That type of life ties me to a point in time, It ties me to a definition of myself that may be long out of date, overwritten. It ties me to the cross, to death, to endings, and not to the resurrection that could come next in my life. But once I take that space, once I digest, then what? I am ready for that new life, that resurrection day, that Easter. The poet Rumi says this of resurrection: nothing can be undertaken until a pain, a yearning, and a love for a thing is awakened inside a human being. Without pain, one's endeavor will not be easy, no matter what, and whether it be about this world, the hereafter, commercial, regal, scholarly, astrological, or anything else. Our body is like Mary, and each of us bears a Jesus. If we experience birth pains, our Jesus will be born. But if there is no pain, our Jesus will return to his origin by that hidden road whence he came, and we will remain deprived. I do not need to believe the notion of Jesus as the only son of a specific God who dies as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world to see the insight and relevance in this story. The sacredness of every person, the song of their life, the depth of their pain shows me again and again the meaning of the Easter story. The call to allow myself endings and rebirths over and over again, and to welcome the experience of others as they do the same. This shows me the meaning of the Easter story. I cannot stop the wheel of time or the change of seasons. I cannot stand in the heat of August and make it be cold again by screaming, "It's winter, it's winter." I can't make myself a child again by refusing to let go of my toys, or bring back a spouse who has died by holding out my wedding rings and saying, "Look, I'm still married." But I can face my endings. I can go into the tomb for each of them and put on a burial shroud. I can spend 3 days, or 3 months, or 3 years, or 3 minutes, feeling the tension of that which I have put away and that which I have not yet become. And then I can rise, I can roll away the stone and emerge as a new creation, a part of a story of change and survival that has been around for over 3,000 years. Winter will end, spring will come, we will rise. Alleluia. We've got just a minute to do a polylog. So if anyone would like, please raise your hand and the usher will bring you a microphone.
Thank you so much. That was a beautiful service. Damn it. Thank you, Amy. My name is Lynn.
It's on.
And I loved your message. And we had just finished a workshop here with Elizabeth Lewis. It was the story of pain and loss. And it resonated with me when you were speaking to find that opportunity in the pain and loss.
Thank you, Amy. This is Eric. Thank you, Amy, for not sugarcoating and for saying it straight. Suffering happens, and it hurts, and it's not fun. And it seems to be part of the human condition over and over and over. And there are ways to work with it. And springtime comes.
Hey, I'm Mary. I was raised Catholic, and I think one of the first memories I have of Easter is just the horror of the story. And I deeply remember being a kid and trying to imagine what a crucifixion would be like, and just being really kind of traumatized by the whole thing. And now when you retold the story, it, even though I've left that faith behind, it still stirs this just, you know, really deep feeling of sympathy and sadness, and the idea of someone being, you know, truly bullied and mocked is one that is important to remember does happen all the time, every day, not with quite the level of horror, but still with us.
This chalice and know that the light of spring sun and blooming hearts will be with us until we meet again. Please rise as you are able and join me in singing hymn number 61, Lo, the Earth Wakes Again. Lightly, enjoying the time of newness and rebirth. Put away all that is heavy and has weighed on your heart, and know that you are made again by spring. Peace, and may it be so.
Thank you. to